Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. This week, Haftorah for Parshas Lech Lecha. This one is kind of fun in that sometimes the Haftorah is really obvious, so that basically we were forbidden to read the five books of Moshe, the Chumash, and the rabbis chose a selection from the prophets that had the same theme as the Torah portion does. So almost always you can read the Haftorah and say, oh yeah, this is exactly it. So like last week's Haftorah talked about the waters of Noah, so we read about Noah. So it made a lot of sense that they were connected. Over here, we're going to be a little more challenged. We'll have to challenge ourselves a little bit harder to figure out the connection. And I'll tell you, it's not so obvious. There's a medrash that connects a lot of this Haftorah to the struggles of Avraham Avinu, which is the Parsha. The Parsha is the life of Avraham and Sarah and going into exile. But it's beneath the surface. It's not super obvious. So if anyone sees the connections, you could point them out. But that's fine. We're back to the book of Yeshayahu, back to the hope of the future. It could be that a very simple part of the Parsha was Avraham and Sarah were living in a very frustrating place where they were persecuted for teaching about the ways of Hashem. Avraham ended up being thrown into a furnace. They did not have children, and that was very frustrating for them. They wanted people to carry on the work that they had started. And their goal was to teach the world about Hashem. Avraham set up places where people could learn about Hashem, and the Rambam mentions that there were tens of thousands of people who were followers of Avraham. He wages wars against four or five kings, and they come to make treaties with him. A lot of those details were not told about in the Chumash, but he was struggling in these wars and in teaching the world about Hashem. And he had to go different places. He had to go into Hashem. The Parsha begins with him being sent into exile, and things aren't always easy. He can't always find work. There's a famine. He has to go down to Egypt, and he's a wanderer. And the Parsha is going to really talk a little bit about Jewish history, how the Jewish people, we are out in the world to really make the world a better place. Our job is to teach morals to the world, to teach the world about the ways of Hashem, to do the right things, to help mankind become better. We don't think about that enough, but that's really our goal, is to be to set an example for the world about how we serve Hashem. And it's a tough job because the world doesn't always want to hear that message. And we go into exile and we struggle and we have difficulties. And so in some ways, that's really what his message is going to be. So let's see. Let's begin the Haftorah on 1133. Lama somer Yaakov utadaber Yisrael. The Jewish people are two kinds of people. We're the people of Yaakov, of a struggle. There are generations where there's lots of struggle. Yaakov is the name where he struggles with his brother. And sometimes we're Yisrael, where Yisrael is the name of the Jewish people when we've overcome the struggle, where we defeat mighty forces. So sometimes the Jewish people is Yaakov, and sometimes we're Yisrael. But both times we talk about Nistra Darkei Me Hashem. I feel like the Jewish people feels that Hashem doesn't see them, our way is hidden from Hashem, Umelokai, and from my God, Mishpat Yavod. Sometimes we feel like Hashem doesn't see our struggles. Part of the challenge that we have is that when a person goes through a hard time, they feel like, where is Hashem? Hashem doesn't see me. Hashem isn't listening to my prayers. Hashem isn't answering me. So he speaks to that. The life of the forefathers is a symbol for the life of the Jewish people. They didn't have an easy life. They struggled. really, everybody struggles. That's the truth. Nobody has it easy. Nobody has a life where there's no struggles.
Isn't that part of the purpose?
Yes, but they don't tell that to you. Everybody wants the silver spoon. Everybody wants life to be easy and everything to be great. And they think that everybody has life easy and there are no challenges. And they don't always get the real picture that everybody has their struggles and people do their best to overcome their struggles, right? And sometimes when a person is struggling, they feel like, why doesn't Hashem see my struggle? Why isn't he helping me? Why isn't he listening to my problems? So this is what he says, verse 28. Halo yedata im lo shamata. It almost rhymes. Don't you know? Don't you hear? Doesn't he know? Didn't he hear? Elokei olam. We tend to just look at one little piece. You get the red light and you're waiting in line and you're annoyed. or there's traffic or there's. We're just worried about the moment. The frustrations of the moment are what really get to us. We're cold, we're hot, we're tired, whatever it is. At that moment, we're frustrated. But Hashem sees, he's part of a much greater picture. He's Elokei Olam. He's the God of forever. Baruch, he's also got the whole world in mind. Lo Yev, and he doesn't forget, he doesn't get tired. For Lo Yiga, Ein Keker Letfunaso, there's no limit to the what Hashem is, the understanding of Hashem. 29. No sin la yoyev kayach. What Hashem does is he gives people the power to, he gives you strength. And that should be a person's prayer, by the way, is that, if you ask for, no struggles or, some people say that Yaakov at the end of his life asked, now things should be easy. He had trouble with the kids. He had trouble with his brother. And Hashem said, Yaakov, don't you know, as long as you're alive, it doesn't get easy. There's always going to be something else, right? So what you can ask for, though, is ask for strength. Ask for the ability to overcome. Ask for the ability to handle the problem, the challenges. So that's what Hashem does. People find strength that they didn't know they have. They didn't know they'd be able to deal with something. They didn't know that they would be able to manage. Hashem gives these people strength. Ain onim, and people who don't seem to have power, somehow they manage. Atzmo yirba. Verse 30. There are people that are young who you would think have all the power in the world, and they're tired out. V'yafu narin. The young people, they're as tired as could be, and who does all the work? The young people, they're tired, and they falter, ubachorim kashu, and they're tripping, and they often show like people in school, like there are certain people who you thought would get ahead in life, and they don't, and there are other people who people have given up on, who do very well, it doesn't always match. Verse 31, this is a great pasuk here. This is actually the last pasuk of this particular chapter. And it says the following. This word, vikave, kave means to hope. Those people, it's the same word as tikva. The word kvi, kave, means to hope. People that hope to Hashem, yachlifu koach, he gives them new strength. It's like they switch out their old strength. At the end of the day or at a certain time, a person feels like they have no strength. Hashem will give you a recharge. He recharges your batteries. Those people that hope to Hashem, they get a recharge. They get a renewal. Yalu Avrik and Nishorim. Birds are great. They don't have to start their engine and they don't have to refuel. It just takes them a second to fly. If somebody tries to, an animal or somebody tries to trap it, it just flies. It just picks up and flies. Especially eagles, apparently. I don't see too many eagles, but apparently they just takes a second for them to pick themselves up and fly. So that's the way people, if they feel like they don't have the energy, they feel like they can't work anymore. So if you hope to Hashem, He gives you a recharge. He gives you new power, like eagles. V'lo yagia, and you won't get tired. Yilecho v'lo yafu. And so the Jewish people, like I said, at the moment where we get frustrated and we feel that Hashem maybe doesn't see what's going on, Hashem gives us the strength to continue us. Hashem gives us the strength to overcome. And even if we've used up our strength, He can give us new strength. And the Historically, there, if you looked at the people that really accomplished things, you'd be amazed at life. Like, if you look, they are particularly people who are strong, who are, you know, they had the movement in the Orthodox world for girls' schooling, or the Beis Yaakov movement, was started by a seamstress. There was a young seamstress who just... Sarah Schneer, who just was just noticed that a lot of the young girls that in previous times they didn't always teach girls didn't go to Hebrew school. They didn't always teach them about Torah and other things. And I guess in earlier generations there wasn't such an issue. And she realized that that if we didn't do something quick, we would lose the Jewish people. And you have to understand that in the time that she lived, there was people were attacking tradition, and what the way of traditional people is that instead of that they don't want to change anything. They saw the beauty in Judaism, they saw the beauty in their homes, and so the way that a lot of religious people preserve things is say we're not changing, and it's so strong that you go to Miami Beach and you'll see people wearing fur hats. Why? Because, well, in Russia we wore fur hats. Well, Russia, you wore fur hats because it was cold. Miami Beach is not cold. But the answer is, once you take the shtreimel off, guess what else? Everything else comes off. And you'll be, before you know it, you'll throw away the baby in the bathwater. And there was truth to that, that it's very difficult to throw... To give up some things and keep other things. And so the way the Hasidim protected themselves from what happened to a large group of Jewish people was they said, we're not changing anything. And it's frustrating to us. Don't you think it's silly to wear a fur hat in Miami? I mean, I suppose if you had to wear a fur hat and it's 80 degrees, you would feel like, oh, I'm sweating. But they preserved the good stuff too. So she had to go up, this young lady in a society dominated by people who said, we're not changing anything. She went around to all of the great Hasidic leaders and convinced them that we had to start a new school system for girls. And we have to teach them Torah. And she was just a little sewing lady, just a young person. She wasn't particularly well known. And she, within a short amount of time, there were hundreds of thousands of girls' schools throughout there. And today, the fact that there was a revival in Jewish tradition came about from this little, you know, sewing lady, Sora Schneer. But there are many people like that, just little humble, you know, little quiet people that you just wouldn't have picked them to be the hero of the story. And there's so many, you know, like, you know, look at Esther, you know, or look at, or, it's just, so the answer is that Hashem gives people the power. Hashem gives you an energy, the energy to do what you need to do. Often you meet like people that survive, you know, today not as much. I used to meet people that survived the Holocaust. And they seem like such sweet people, such simple people. And these were people that crossed borders. These were people that tricked guards. They were people that somehow found the strength to continue on. And and you just say, I wonder how they did that. How could they do that? They seem such gentle, soft people. The answer, they had no choice. They found the strength to do what they had to do. And so that's the kind of the message is you hope to Hashem, he gives you the strength, and that's the that's one of the ideas over here. Okay, we begin the next chapter, which is part of the same Haftorah, and again, this is dealing with the life of Avraham Avinu. In his old age, he had to pick up and start all over again. They're not easy at all to pick up and go on the road. Hashem said, "All right, you know, time to go. Where do I go? Don't worry about it. Just go." Right? Imagine if you just pick up and go somewhere. Where am I going? I don't know. You know, to the land. Which land? I'll show you. You know, don't worry. Just follow on the road. Eventually, I'll tell you where to get off. He didn't ask any questions. He said, okay, Sarah, guess what? We're moving. Right? We're picking up and we're leaving. Right? So that's what he did. Now, the other part of Abraham was that he tried to influence other people and to help other people. And so that's the second part of this Haftarah. Chrishu Elayim, that the far-off nations should hear. Ulu'umim, and the people. It's very interesting. He stresses this message about getting more strength. Yachlifu koach. Again, we have that. Recharge your batteries. Find the... People don't do things because they feel that they can't. They don't have... No, you have the energy. Just don't let things hold you back. As yidara yachtov lemishpat nikrava. And... people, there'll be a judgment. It's important to us that people realize that there should be reward and punishment. The people that do evil, they need to be punished. They need, if they have money that doesn't belong to them, it needs to be given to where it belongs. And the nations of the world have to know that there's justice. Verse 2. Mi ha'ir memizrach tzedek. Where will the... he actually translates this as Avraham, by the way. But you see that on verse 2? But in the Hebrew, it doesn't say Avraham. But he's saying, who influenced Avraham to call out, Yitein lefan of goyim? When Avraham had to fight the wars that he did, the nations fell in front of him. Again, we don't know a lot from the Chumash. We know he fought wars, but we don't really know about the dynamics of the wars, or the kings that he fought. He made his swords, they came with weapons, and their weapons turned to dust. The Medrash says that he shot arrows, and he threw dust in the air, and it turned into arrows, and it was like a miraculous battle that Avraham had with the nations. Verse 3, Yird fame, he chased them, Yavu Shalom, Orek Raglavo Yavo. He chased them away that they shouldn't bother him. Lo Yav, they won't come back. Me, Paul Vasa, who would do such a thing? How did Avraham, which was a small family group, manage to defeat these kings? Korah Hadoros Merosh. And who is responsible that it's really referring to the Jewish people that are descendants of Avraham. How is it that throughout history we're the weak little Israel, the weak little Jewish people will somehow manage to overcome the mighty weapons of the various nations? Ani Hashem Rishon, I'm the Hashem who was at the beginning, Ves Achronim, and I'll be there at the end. He's going to be there for the whole picture. Ani Hu, that's me. By the way, that's in one of the Passover songs about Ani. Ani, you know, I am the one. You know, I'm Ani Hu. Verse 8. Ro Iim v'yiru, the far off nations, which is interesting because today we have good communication. You could talk to the people on the far off nations. In ancient times, like the word took a long time to reach the far off nations. It's so it's Yechudu, and they're going to be afraid. Korvo v'yasun, the time will come and they're going to hear about Hashem. Verse 6. This verse is quoted often. It's we talk about facing challenges and we talk about finding strength. So how does that work? So this is the verse they quote. Verse 6 is a great pasuk. Ish es re'ehu yazru. You know what you got to do is when each person helps their fellow person. You know, when one person helps the other, that's how you do it. You know, alone we can't manage. But when ish es re'ehu yazrehu, one man helps their fellow man. It all starts with being kind to one's neighbor, ula achiv yomer chazak. And to your brother, if he's depressed, if he's sad, you pick him up, you strengthen him. He's referring to these far-off nations that they worship these strange gods. In the next pasuk, he makes that kind of clear. But they, I guess they reinforce each other in their idol worship. But this verse is kind of taken out of that context. The basic idea is that things happen because people, for good or for evil, people reinforce each other. But these are, a lot of this imagery, this part of Yeshayahu is not clear to us exactly which nation he was referring to, but it's recorded because it somehow we find meaning to it. I wonder, I've heard this pasuk quote, I wonder if there's another, if it's either in another verse or they just... they just use the symbolism of it, how, you know, a person is helps his fellow man out. Whenever the prophets saw a vision, sometimes it's very clear and it's very specific to who it was directed and what the events were. Other times there are more universal types of events and the time period isn't clear. So it leaves it open to interpretation. And so probably what happened is that they understood this was in reference to the idol worshipping nations. The chapter begins that the far off nations should listen, and typically it talked about how on these different islands you had these different pagans and these different nations that worship different gods, and we're talking about the corners, the far off nations that had practiced all these religions. They need to hear about the ways of Hashem, and I mean, I hear that when people would come to truth, but they look around and they get strengthened and they by the other people that are doing it. Everybody else is doing it, so it must be, it makes sense. The other religions often it's when you study religions, you see, like we've talked here, that you know that a lot of Christianity is total nonsense. Yet they strengthen themselves because this is what everybody does. So it's like you know, and Islam is even worse. You know, these are not, you know, it's not a serious religion or something that a believing person would. So that in our time, what's happened is that a lot of people have given up on religions because they saw the fallacy in religions, but. Instead of looking for a true religion, you know, or instead of looking for truth, they give up on all of it. But they tend to take support, and they say, well, the priest must know what he's doing, or the fellow man must know what he's doing. Everybody else is doing it, and so they support each other in their religion. I was just reading now that in the in Saudi Arabia, at the, I think they call it the Hajj or whatever, there were over 2,000 people killed.
Right.
And this was like, this was like their holy of holies. Like they trampled on each other. Yeah. They were just, you know, how do you, like, it's madness. It's trampling, you know. At I understand when you have a large amount of people, like at a concert or something, you know, sometimes by mistake, you know, somebody gets trampled, you know, they have two people killed, three people. 2,000 people were trampled at this. I can't imagine it. It's a, and every week they come out with more people were killed, but they didn't tell anybody. That was today's number. It was over 2,000.
Because they don't value human life.
But that's amazing, isn't it? Like, yeah, they're not listening.
They're into death.
But they take support from the fact that, well, there's so many other Muslims are doing it, so it must be everybody else is trampling, you know, all these people are getting killed, and it's, nobody's, you know, and they're very happy about that. They go to heaven if they get trampled on the way. It's a, but this is good. That's really what we need to do, is when you look at it, you can kind of get the feel for what they were trying to say here. Verse 7, now if these idols fall apart, so you would think they wouldn't believe in them, but what do? They take out the hammer and they fix it. These are human things that they make up, and they fix their broken eye. You know what, we need some more glue. Maybe it'll be stronger next time. And so, like, the imagery is that people stick to their false ideas even though they're broken, you know, and they're falling apart, so they give it a hammer, they use a little glue. These are their gods. Va'ata. Now that's the nations, these far-off nations. Va'ata Yisrael Avdi. Now you, the Jewish people, who are my servant, Yaakov Asher Bechaticha, you are the chosen one. Zera Avram O'Avai, you are descendants. So this is what tells you that it has to do with Avraham. You know, you are specifically descendants of Avraham. Avraham is the one that faces... he's the only one in the whole world that challenges the idea that idols are not God. That, you know, these little statues are just... The entire civilized world that he knew believed in different idols. For the next 1,000 years, everybody was worshiping different... They argued about which was the strongest idol. My God is stronger than your God. And they, you know, the sun or the moon or the stars or the statue or the gold or the silver. But every single nation had a different... You show me your God, I'll show you my God. You know, everybody was... The one person who was challenging what these societies believed in is Avraham. Avraham was the lone person going against the tide. And so the Jewish people are considered descendants of Avraham, and they're beloved. The fact that we have to live in a world where we're challenged, that's a belovedness. Verse 9, Asher Hechzekticha, Hashem says, I will grasp the Jewish people and I will bring them back, Mikitzeo, from the different corners of the world. And I will call unto them. You, the Jewish people, you are my servants. You are. I'm going to call out to you. Bacharti, and I have chosen you. Don't think I've rejected you. Don't think I will ever have given up on you. So we're here, we're scattered around the world, we're minorities, we're fighting against people that believe in all kinds of fallacies, but we're Hashem's servants, and Hashem chose us, and He will never reject us. This word masticha means I will never make you mias, I'll never make you disgusting, I will never reject you. Al tira, don't be afraid. Ki imcha ani, because I'm with you. Al tishta, and sometimes you're afraid, and because you think that you're afraid of the Gentiles, and sometimes you just stray. Don't stray, don't get lost. Ki ani elokecha, I'm your God. Am samtika, I'll give you the strength. Afa zotika, I'll help you. Af tamita, and I'll hold you up. Yimin siti, with the right hand of righteousness. So, again, the earlier message was talking about not having strength, and needing new strength and being tired, and how Hashem gives the person, it's not easy being a minority, it's not easy being afraid, it's not easy dealing with challenges, but these are the qualities of the descendants of Abraham, that they have the ability to take on the masses, to take on the fallacies, to get the strength. And we shouldn't be afraid, and we shouldn't stray, and Hashem will support us. Verse 11, well, what about all them? What about all those? They're gonna be embarrassed, and they're gonna dry up, they're gonna disappear. All those angry people, all those anti Semites, all those they'll be like nothing. They'll go lost, these people that are fighting with you, don't worry about them. Verse 12, Tavakshim, you know, there'll come a time when you'll look for those anti Semites, you won't even find them. The people that are arguing with you, these people that are debating with you, they'll be like nothing. All these people that are threatening you, don't worry about them. Verse 13, now, who are you telling me not to worry about? Because I am Hashem, and I am your God. Maxi, and I'm holding your right hand. I'm there together with you. Ha'omar lecha, and I am Hashem, and I say, Al tira, don't be afraid, ani azartich, I'll help you. That's a strong message. If a person sees Hashem with him, then the challenges are not so hard, because you have all the power on your side. You know, if every time a person thinks, well, this is, I have to find the strength to do this, but you just picture Hashem is there extending His hand to you, helping you. He'll be there for you. Very interesting imagery over here. If you would have to mention a very powerless creature, what would you say would be? Probably a worm. I give it away. A worm is like, you know, it's like so weak and just, you know, it goes very slow. And not even a snake, it's just a worm. When you want to really insult somebody, you call them a worm. Sometimes the Jewish people feels like we're a worm. We're powerless. You ever go to the UN and you hear all the anti-Semites and all the nations of the world, and, you know, we feel like we're this little worm. Who are we? Hashem says, I'll tell you, don't worry, you know, here it goes back to Yaakov, who's struggling, but he calls the Jewish people a worm. You might feel like a worm, I'm like this little worm compared to these mighty Gentile nations. Masa Yisrael, the people of Israel, Ani Azretecha, you might feel like a worm, but I'm going to help you. I am your support, the Neum Hashem, the Goalech, and I will redeem you, Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. So you might feel like a worm, but you know you have the right person on your side. The right Hashem is on our side. He will help us out. I mean, during the times of the Holocaust and times, there are certain times in history where we felt like the whole world was against us. And,
it was.
What?
It
and was. They were. That's right. And we felt powerless. Like, what can we do? And so Hashem says, like, a person should not lose hope, and should not. He realized that Hashem is going to help us. 15. Hine samtika lemorig choritz. Now, how do you, you know, if we're this little worm, so how are we going to defeat these mighty powers? So Hashem says, just imagine, it's interesting imagery. When they have wheat, they have to separate the chaff from the kernel. Like, there's like, they have to break up the kernel of wheat and to pound it. So Hashem says, I'm going to make you like a threshing tool. I think it's like a lot of blades, or so Hashem says, you know, you're going to be like a superpower, like you're going to be like a Mori Choretz Chodesh, but you'll be like one of these really sharp, like sharp-edged swords, and Tadosh Harm, you'll be able to knock down mountains. V'tidak, and grind them away, gvos, kamot tosim. In other words, you might think you have big mountains that are coming against you. You'll be able to, like, grind them up. The mountains will disappear. What is it? You make molehills out of mountains or something like that? That's kind of the... Now, what will happen to these big mountains? Verse 16. Tizraim, you'll like, they'll get scattered. They'll throw them away. Veruach tisan, they'll be carried away by the wind. Tafitzosan, va'atel. Now, what happens after these wars and these battles? Our understanding was that the battles that Avraham fought, where these mighty forces came against him, and they just fell apart. And then, va'atel togel b'Hashem, then you will sing happy songs with Hashem, b'kadosh Yisrael, and you will be the Holy One of Israel, tishalo, that will be your praise. And so he's here to give hope. Again, the imagery was like Avraham, who was this small family facing off against these many kings, that we defeat these mighty powers, and Hashem, you know, Hashem is on our side. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't stray, and we should always look to Him to get new strength. That seems to be the message.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.